This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 241, for the weekend of September 4th through September 6th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And this is Tad.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. It took a little wrangling, but yes, we do have both Art and Tad for this episode, so please enjoy the three-headed monster for this week's episode. So, Art, Tad, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm doing very well. Still settling in down here, but overall enjoying it.
Okay, good. So, why don't we mosey on over to how the box office did last weekend. So this is for the weekend of August 28th through August 30th. At number one, still Straight Outta Compton came in at $13.1 million. New release War Room came in at $11.3 million. Oh, you almost could say $11.4 million. At number three, we had Mission Impossible Rogue Nation with $8.2 million. At number four, we had No Escape with $8.1 million. And at number five, we had Sinister 2 with, I'm going to say, $4.7 million. And there are your top five. And also worth mentioning, We Are Your Friends, $1.8 million last week.
Down in the 14th spot.
Mm-hmm, something like that. Way down there. So what did we learn? That DJs are not our friends.
Yes, and you know, I did call it last show. I said the best thing about the new releases from last week is that they gave Straight Outta Compton the opportunity to be number one 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Also, if you look at per screen average, they came in 62. So, beaten by other movies like Turbo Kid, Z for Zechariah, Queen of the Earth, or Queen of Earth. So, yeah, that... not a good sign for Mr. Efron.
No.
All right. So I guess there's anything you have to say about War Room, guys?
Just that it was surprising that it did so well in so few theaters.
Yeah. I read in a couple places that, you know, it is definitely a Christian movie, I guess. And maybe that is becoming a draw almost like that we had with Tyler Perry movies. That there is a core audience that will go to see, you know, their favorite kind of movie. So yeah, because, you know, came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, all right. So let's stop talking about the box office and let's start talking about what's coming out in the theater this weekend. So Art, why don't you tell us about the first of two movies coming out this weekend?
Okay, the first movie that we are going to talk about is The Transporter Refueled. This is 18% on the tomato meter, 86% want to see it. Frank Martin, played by newcomer Ed Skeen, a former special ops mercenary, is now living a less perilous life, or so he thinks, transporting classified packages for questionable people. When Frank's father, Ray Stevenson, pays him a visit in the south of France, their father-son bonding weekend takes a turn for the worse when Frank is engaged by a cunning femme fatale, Anna, a lone Chabonneau, and her three seductive sidekicks to orchestrate the bank heist of the century. Frank must use his covert expertise and knowledge of fast cars for driving and fast women to outrun a sinister Russian kingpin, and worse than that, he is thrust into a dangerous game of chess with a team of gorgeous women out for revenge. Rated PG-13 for sequences of violence and action, sexual material, some language, a drug reference, and thematic elements. Genre action and adventure, directed by Camille Delamar, written by Bill Collage, Adam Cooper, and Luc Besson. 1 hour and 35 minutes. So, like I said, we've got Ed Skeen, Gabriella Wright.
Good luck.
Yeah. Ray Stevenson.
Yes, that is a thankfully English name.
Yeah, and I don't know any of these other people.
Yeah. I don't know. Any love for previous Transporter movies?
I enjoyed the first one. I thought the second one was overdone. I like, what's his name? I'm blanking, but the original guy who was in it.
Jason Statham.
Jason Statham, yeah.
I like the first one, right? I didn't see the second one. And then in I have a little bit to talk about Transporter in what I've been watching.
Oh, okay. Very good.
I'll tease that a little bit.
Very good. The snarky review of the week comes from Kyle Smith of the New York Post. I've seen lines at the post office that moved with more urgency and passion than Transporter Refuel. So, yeah. All right. So, Tad, why don't you tell us about the other movie that's coming out this weekend?
Okay, the other movie that's coming out is A Walk in the Woods, and it's coming out in just under 2,000 theaters. It's 49% on the tomato meter, and 58% want to see it. This is a new comedy adventure. Celebrated travel writer Bill Bryson, Academy Award winner Robert Redford, instead of retiring to enjoy his loving and beautiful wife, Academy Award winner Emma Thompson, and large and happy family, challenges himself to hike the Appalachian Trail, 2,200 miles of America's most unspoiled, spectacular, and rugged countryside, from Georgia to Maine. The peace and tranquility he hopes to find, though, is anything but. Once he agrees to being accompanied by the only person he can find willing to join him on the trek, his long-lost and former friend, Cat, Academy Award Award nominee Nick Nolte, a down-on-his-luck serial philanderer who, after a lifetime of relying on his charm and wit to keep one step ahead of the law, sees the trip as a way to sneak out of paying some debts and sneak into one last adventure before it's too late. The trouble is, the two have completely different definition of the word adventure. Now they're about to find out that when you push yourself to the edge, the real fun begins. And it's rated R for language and some sexual references. And it's directed by Ken Kowapis, written by William Holderman, and it's an hour and 38 minutes. And it's most of the people that are in it that I recognize, I mentioned already, but there's Nick Offerman, and about the only other really person that stands out.
Yeah, I almost want to go see this in the theater because I love Nick Offerman. But you know, I don't know. This might be on the same level as like Lost Vegas.
Right. Yeah, that was a big hit. And you know the thing, Nick Offerman, they don't even give who he's playing in the movie.
Right.
Is he unnamed? Is he, you know, just rando?
Yeah. Another thing that kind of leapt out is that it might be more of a variation on Sideways. Because they have the two have a completely different definition of the word adventure. I don't know. I just looked to see if the screenwriter's done anything else, and I think this is his first credit. So yeah, I don't know what to think.
It's like a road trip movie with no car.
Yeah. All right. So those were the two movies coming out in a wide release, and now let's go over to Share Time. So, for those new to the show, this is the part of the show where each of the hosts talk about what they have been doing as far as watching TV, going check out movies, or even if, you know, if they have some worthwhile games to talk about. So, Art, why don't you tell us how you've been spending, or how you spent your last week?
Okay, well, I resolved to seriously get down to business and watch some movies. So I actually watched two movies since the last time we talked. I watched RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
And that was...
The new one or the
80s? The new one. Oh, no, I've seen the 80s one many, many times. No, the new one. And I was a little disappointed. Actually, I was probably a lot of disappointed. Because it was like an hour and 50 minutes, and you spent more than an hour just kind of moseying around and getting to the point of him becoming RoboCop. And I felt like that was excessive. And then you spent like another half an hour of him coming to grips with being RoboCop. And then you had like 20 minutes of action at the end of the movie, and it was really kind of weird. I'm like, wow, that was just really slow. Everything resolved nicely in the end, but I just felt like it kind of dragged for a 2-hour movie. Have either of you guys seen it?
No, I have not gotten to check the new one out yet.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it. I can see why you would say, you know, the pacing was maybe a little slow, but I like the movie. Part of it might be is that the main actor that plays the main character, and I can't remember his name, but he was in a series called The Killing, and I really liked him in that. I think maybe I kind of liked him a little bit more.
Right.
So that made the movie a little better for me.
Okay. Yeah, I was mostly disappointed because it was on Netflix, and in the end, I only gave it 2 stars. So I would not recommend it. I'd say go watch the original.
Now, was there a lot of love of the original RoboCop for you?
I did. I really did enjoy the original, but I'm not that kind of person who is not ready for something, you know, good to be done with something new. It's not like, you know, I mean, look at me. I love the original Star Trek movies. I like the new ones better.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people don't. And I don't think it falls into that category of I couldn't get over the fact that I liked the original. I wanted it to be like that one. I really just had a problem with the way the movie was paced, and I felt like it drugged out way too long, and there could have been a lot more action. I felt like it was all just kind of squeezed into the tail end, and I just felt unsatisfied at the end of it. The special effects were good. The acting was good. It was really just a matter of pacing. It was like I just kind of slogged through the movie. The other movie that I watched was, and now I'm blanking. I was supposed to write it down, and I didn't. It was... I, Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
With Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, okay.
And I really enjoyed that movie a lot. It was... I had completely forgotten what it was all actually about. The whole war between demons and gargoyles and him caught in the middle and, you know, kind of incorporating the original story of Frankenstein. And then extrapolating on it and moving it into the present. I thought the special effects were good. I liked all the actors. And I think it clocked in at just a little over an hour and a half. And it really moved very well by comparison. So it was interesting to have that, you know, immediate side-by-side comparison of a movie that I felt was paced a lot better. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I recommend it. It's another one that's available on Netflix now. And if you have any interest whatsoever, I would say to check it out.
All right. Tad? It is your turn.
All right. It's been a couple of weeks, and I was gone out of town last week, so I watched a movie on the plane and went to the theater while I was there since I didn't have anything to do at night, and so I've got quite a bit. I'm probably not going to go into a lot of it. One of the things that I watched that I really liked was Knights of Badassdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty funny movie. It's about a group of LARPers that get a hold of he buys an old spell book off the internet, you know, as a prop, and it turns out that it's a real spell book, and they summon a demon, and they have to get rid of it. It has Steve Zahn, Summer Glau, and Peter Dinklage in it. And if you've played any D&D or done any LARPing or anything like that, I would recommend it. It's a pretty good movie. It was funny. I really enjoyed it.
I really, really, really wanted to see that. And I completely forgot about it, and I am putting in my Netflix queue. This will be watched before next week.
This is actually a semi-notorious movie, Knights of Badassdom. I actually have a copy of it because I wasn't sure if it was going to hit the other, conventional media distribution routes. But there was a big story about how this movie was taken away from the director.
Yeah.
So and I've heard from some other people, not necessarily that I know, but people that I listen to, that, you know, it's a mess and that kind of thing. But I still want to see it because I enjoy all those people. I also I think also Abed from Community. Danny Pudi, isn't it? Yeah. I enjoy him too.
It's low budget.
Yeah.
You know,
oh yeah.
The monster effects are kind of like old Doctor Who.
Okay.
So, but it's It's fun.
You know, I've seen the monsters in New Doctor Who. They're really not that much better.
But yeah. Okay. And then while I was in Atlanta last week, I was pretty close to the theater, so I went and saw Straight Outta Compton. I liked it. It was a good movie. I think their first album came out in 88, which was the year I graduated from high school.
Same here.
So I remember all that stuff going on. You know, I was never really into rap music too much, but I knew all the names. I knew some of the, kind of had a vague idea of what happened between them and stuff like that. So it was kind of nice to, I'm assuming that most of the stuff was fairly accurate in the movie. So it was kind of nice to see a little more what happened and what went on. And I kind of learned what a Suge Knight was not really a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
But so I saw that. And then back to the Transporter. I watched 3 episodes of Transporter the series.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a Transporter the series.
There was a series. Go ahead. So it was on. it was produced by several different companies. It said it was a part of French Canadian, and I thought that meant like Quebec or something like that. But it was actually France and Canada. And it aired on TMC, I think. But I watched it on Netflix, and it's an R-rated TV series. I think it was mostly made for foreign TV. But I watched 3 episodes. All 3 episodes seemed pretty much the same to me. So I'm not sure if I'm gonna watch more of it or not. Let's see. I also watched 2 movies that had Tommy Lee Jones in them.
Oh wow!
So,
well, you took a week off, but you were really really busy.
Well, one of the things I've been doing is I've been working a lot of overtime on Saturdays. So what I'll do is I'll set my tablet up next to my computer screen with Netflix on and just watch a movie while I'm working.
Nice.
So I've gotten a couple of movies in that way. The first movie I watched with Tommy Lee Jones was The Homesman. It's a Western. It has Hilary Swank and Meryl Streep in it. And the basic story is that there's 3 women that basically go crazy, and Hilary Swank is volunteers to take them back east to a where they can be taken care of, and hires Tommy Lee Jones, who's kind of just a real screw up, to help her take them back because no one else will go with her. And the movie was okay. I didn't really like it too much. Tommy Lee Jones was great. You know, it's worth watching the movie just to see him and the way he pulls off kind of a low life cowboy type character. The other movie I watched with him in it is called The Family, and the main character is Robert De Niro, and Michelle Pfeiffer's in it, and he's basically he's in witness protection over in France, I believe. He's a ex-mob hitman, and Tommy Lee Jones is the marshal that's in charge of him, and it's just kind of the family trying to adapt to normal life, and the kids, you know, of course, kind of set up their own little criminal enterprise at the high school and things like that. It's a pretty good movie. I also, on the plane, I saw Tomorrowland, which, as far as Disney ride movies go, didn't particularly care for it.
As scary as it is, that is a subgenre now, but go ahead.
and I have a news story about that too. So.
Oh, okay, very good.
Getting that in the news story, but it was a pretty movie. The effects were pretty good. I just, you know, I wouldn't pay money. I would watch it on Netflix or if it came on TV maybe. So that is pretty much what I've been watching.
All right. Well, obviously Ted has outshined Art and has outshined me, because I've watched a little television, and I watched one movie with the family over the weekend. And I told myself I was going to have the page up so I don't mispronounce the name. We watched Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And we had a very enjoyable time watching this movie that probably could have been a Disney TV movie. I had a problem with Steve Carell and Jennifer Garner being married. I don't know.
Why?
It was just a little, you know, juxtaposed for me. I don't know. But all the kids were good. They had some good laughs. Steve Carell is Steve Carell. I definitely enjoyed it. It didn't seem like it was too small, or I'm sorry, too small, too short or too slow. But it was just a light movie that I can watch with the kids and I don't have to worry about, you know, having an awkward conversation after it. Which is some other movies that we watched. But anyways, as far as the TV, I am just a snail with Killjoys, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. I almost wish that I can like buy it as a setting for Savage Worlds. Even though there's probably other settings that are very close to it, and it's not an original setting, but I'm enjoying it. Even though the last two episodes I've watched, I was like, yeah, that was kind of like that Firefly episode. Yeah, that was kind of like that other one. I'm gonna keep going. And I guess Killjoys finished their season one. And we don't know if they're going to be doing a season two, so keep our fingers crossed.
No, I finished up watching it, and I like the way it ends. Pretty good. It answers all the questions
mm-hmm.
that it asks, and it sets up some more. And it has been renewed for a second season.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I have all of Dark Matter recorded. And so I don't know if I'm going to jump in on Dark Matter, but we'll see. Another TV show that I've been catching up on is Marin, which is on IFC. And basically, if you liked Californication or Shameless, it's kind of a lighter version that's on regular cable television and not on pay TV. But you still get into these messed up situations. And, you know, I like it because it's semi-biographical because, you know, his podcast is part of the central storyline of the show. And he tackles some pretty, you know, funny stuff. So and how he makes fun of himself, I just love that show. So I've been told that you can catch earlier seasons on Netflix. But I'm halfway through season three, and I think I got like three or four episodes left. So I might have more to say next week. Okay, so I believe we have all had a turn for share time. So now we can start our news segment. So Art, why don't you unleash your first news story?
Okay, well, being as we've had so much talk about Straight Outta Compton, I'm going to lead off with a story about that. Straight Outta Compton just grabbed another incredible box office record. So with them being number one 3 weeks in a row, they have just taken the highest grossing musical biopic in history. They just beat out Walk the Line, with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. That film had a lifetime gross of $120 million, and Straight Outta Compton is already at $134 million in just 3 weeks. So they're going to leave that way behind by the time all is said and done. They pushed Ray with Jamie Foxx down to the number three spot, and Funny Coal Miner's Daughter is still on the list, and La Bamba with Lou Diamond Phillips. Those got completely pushed out of the top five. They also helped the studio surpassed $2 billion in the North American box office. So the little movie that could kind of go in there.
You know, it seems like there's almost every weekend there's some type of record that's being broken. You know?
Yes.
So, that's my only comment on that. All right, Tad, what do you have?
Okay, I'm going to do my story about Disney movies, and it's The Rock reveals a key detail of a Disney's Jungle Cruise movie. So they're going to make a movie out of Jungle Cruise, and which is two main things in the article. The big reveal is that it's going to be set in the 1920s. It's going to be a period piece, which is, I guess if you think about it, it's not too surprising because the ride is the ride is set in the 1920s. It's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. the props and stuff like that are from the 1920s.
Right.
And the writers for the movie are John Requa
mm-hmm.
and Glenn Sicara. And it says the duo has recently written the Will Smith con man movie Focus. They did the family action comedy Cats and Dogs. And then they also wrote Bad Santa.
Ooh, okay. So
they've done a couple of things anyway. Mm. But I don't know how much I hope the movie's going to be good. But the only real Disney ride, Pirates of the Caribbean was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think kind of other than that, I've been disappointed.
Yeah, well, I think it has been a long time, and I don't think maybe it's never happened that Rock has been in a movie that hasn't performed at the box office. What was that?
That's true.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Okay. My first news story is a quick little one about they're bringing Mad Max back to the theater. And not only just back to the theater, they're bringing it back to the IMAX. So on September 11th, they are going to be releasing for 1 week only Mad Max Fury Road in IMAX 3D. So I am definitely... Do you guys have an IMAX near you?
I'm sure we do. It's Dallas. I mean, it's a huge city.
Right.
I got one about a couple months.
See that movie.
Now, I usually do not encourage or enable 3D by the studios, but there's one reason why I want to see it on the IMAX screen. Because I want to hear the guitar on the IMAX sound system.
Yep.
I think that's really the only reason. All right, Art, you're next.
Okay. So, why Fantastic Four failed, according to Stan Lee. And I like... hold on. I touched a screen and blah, blah, blah. All right. And I just like the quote here. Well... It was probably because I didn't have a cameo in it, and they didn't discuss the story with me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it had a lot more problems than that, but I just like that, you know, he's just taking the task. Just, yeah, here's why. You know, why don't you talk to me a little bit, you know? I mean, because up until recently, he had, like, him and the, who was it? I forget, but they had like the longest running duo on a comic book, and you know they'd been on it for I forget how many issues. I think it was hundreds or 100. I don't know, but anyway, you know Lee knows Fantastic Four. Why don't you get him in there? You're messing something up. But yeah, I just thought that was funny.
A couple of funny tweets I've heard about Fantastic Four is they should have changed it to Fantastic Four No One, and the I might be repeating one. But so far, the best Fantastic Four movie has been The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were just, that came up just again on Backseat Producers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Tad, what do you have next?
Okay, I'm going to stick with the superhero theme.
Okay.
And go with why the Hulk won't be in Captain America 3, according to Mark Ruffalo. Okay, so it's been rumored that the Hulk is going to make an appearance in... Captain America Civil War, and apparently Mark Ruffalo at the Venice Film Festival had a quote, and it says, "The reason is too great to be revealed in the movie Civil War. I was in the script, but then they removed my character. They don't want to reveal where he is and why. I don't even know if Hulk will be back soon." So it sounds like they kind of have a plan for where Hulk is and what he's doing, and they kind of want to keep it secret until, well, I guess they don't want to reveal it in Captain America and Winter Civil War.
Right.
It talks about how in Avengers that they find his Quinjet crashed near Fiji, but you know he could be anywhere. It talks about a rumor that maybe he might show up in Guardians of the Galaxy, but it kind of dismisses that as just basically internet talk.
Right.
So, I don't know. Hulk's always been kind of one of my favorites. So, I'm a little bit disappointed that he's not going to be in Civil War, but it kind of excites me that they have a plan for what's going to happen and what he's going to do. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, my next news story is a Star Wars related one, but it's not about Episode 7. It's about Star Wars Rebels. Apparently, this week, the Blu-ray set for Star Wars Rebels Season 1 came out, and I know that Blu-ray and, you know, buying the actual discs is kind of out of fashion nowadays, but according to the reviewer said that, you know, you almost have to own it. Because it looks so good on Blu-ray, and it's such an enjoyable show. But I think Disney's kind of messing up a little bit, just because most of the special features are on YouTube already. So there isn't a whole lot of incentive for me to buy it. But there's, oh, we'll probably buy it anyways, because I know this is something my son would watch on a constant loop as much as he could. But I guess there is a short little teaser reel for Season 2. And a couple things that they teased was that they're going to have an episode about the creation of the B-Wing. Mm. I'm very excited about that. As long as they do it a good job. I'm sure they will do a good job. And I guess there's going to be another, there's going to be a top secret new character in Season 2. So, yeah, if so, in case you didn't know, that is out at the stores and you can buy it. And kind of on a side note, if you are in your local retailer and it seems like there's a lot of people there in the toy section, it's because tomorrow they're releasing all the Star Wars toys, at least at my Target. I don't know about Walmart and the other ones. But there's actually a movement on the Board Game Geek Facebook group, or, you know, now I'm thinking about it, it might be the SoCal X-Wing, to not buy it at the big evil corporation stores. Go buy it from your local game store, because I guess there's been leaked photos that they're going to have the X-Wing core set with the ships from Episode 7.
Oh.
So they're going to have different ships. So I'm not advocating either strategy, but just be aware of that. And there is also a very cute clip on the VanityFair.com where they, I guess the BB-8 toy. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay, so BB-8 is the ball droid from the trailer.
Right.
So it says, I think they've given him the name of Sphero. And the toy that you can get, it's actually remote controlled from your smartphone.
Nice.
So it's like it's like a little radio controlled car almost.
Right.
And
so
they had it rolling around in front of all these puppies. And it was just, it's a real funny video.
We did talk about all the unboxing and revealing of the toys that was gonna be going on, the mm-hmm. YouTube thing. Actually, somebody did post in my feed one of those unboxing videos, and it was the Mexican feed, so it's from Mexico, and so it wasn't in English, but it was an unboxing video of the new Stormtrooper Nerf gun, and I've got to say I want one pretty badly.
Yeah. By the way, the Sphero is actually the name of the company that makes the toy, not the name of the droid, so it's still BB-8.
Right. No, Sphero is an actual toy that's being currently produced. It is a ball that rolls around you control with your phone. This is just their BB-8 branded model of their toy.
Yeah, sure.
Just like the Nerf gun it's Nerf brand, but it is their Star Wars branded version of one of their other guns. So they're just out there marketing like crazy. They'll probably make almost as much money on the merchandise as they will on the movie.
Oh, most definitely. Okay, Art, what do you got next?
Okay, so I've got an interesting little story here. Why Steven Spielberg thinks superhero movies will go the way of the Western. So he was just talking about how that, you know, the movie industry goes in cycles, you know,
mm-hmm.
what you see now is not what you're always going to get. It will at some point wane. And it caught my eye. Let's see. The quote is, of course, right now, the superhero movie is alive and thriving. I'm only saying that these cycles have a finite time in popular culture. There will come a day when the mythological stories are supplanted by some other genre that possibly some young filmmaker is just thinking about discovering for all of us. And it says Steven Spielberg isn't speaking off the cuff. He's speaking as a student of the industry from the standpoint of a seasoned veteran who has seen how genres can rise and fall. And I thought this was funny because I went and actually looked up the Westerns and how long they reigned. And the Westerns started becoming popular in the 30s. They peaked in the 50s and 60s. And then they ran well into the 70s. So 40 years is a long time for a cycle. We are still very early on in this. I mean, because when would you, you know, what do you want to date it back to? There were a few in the 80s, but it wasn't really into the 90s that we had a few that were kind of big. I mean, late 80s, you had the first Batman.
Right.
And then 90s, I'd say it really picked up. So let's go from the 90s. We're talking 2030, and that would just be like the main area of the cycle. Because we still get good Westerns even now, but they are very few and far between.
Well, the Clint Eastwood Unforgiven won the Academy Award not too long ago.
Early 90s, maybe? Yeah, but I mean, you still get three or four a year. And, you know, some really good ones. I mean, there was Unforgiven. There was Open Range. There was Appaloosa. There was, what was that one? The Quick and the Dead. You know, there's been a lot of Westerns. I really enjoy them. I've seen all of those movies. Hidalgo. I love Hidalgo. Even if you said that the cycle was going to run until 2030, and then we'd get two or three, you know, or even just one or two a year for the next, you said the 70s, and it is now 40 years past that. For another 40 years, we'd still get really good superhero movies. I call that a pretty good cycle. So comparing it to a Westerns, I don't really think is a good analogy.
Yeah, well, I mean, another hidden layer of that argument is that, you know, source material for Westerns as opposed to source material for superhero movies. You know,
it
seems like there's a lot more for superheroes than there are for Westerns, and they're still being created.
Wait, no. I'm going to totally disagree with you on that point. I mean, if you're talking about like the pulps and the actual history and there's a ton of source material there. I mean, just look at who's the one. I had a buddy, and he loved Louis L'Amour.
Mm-hmm.
How many Louis L'Amour books are there? You know, there are dozens.
I've read them all.
Dozens and dozens. Okay, right. I had a buddy who was really into it. You know, he was always reading his Louis L'Amour books, and that's just one author. You know, no, there's tons and tons of source material, but there's and I'd say comic books are the same. I mean, there are so many properties that aren't even close to being tapped. I mean, there are so many, you know, we're getting a lot of stuff from Marvel and DC, and then every now and then we get something from, you know, one of the smaller publishers. But there are so many publishers who they've never even been touched. There are so many award-winning comics that, you know, things that have won, the Eisner Awards?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that haven't been done, you know, like Mouse or Bone or, you know, any one of a dozen other titles that somebody who is deeper into the subject than I am could come up with. Right. So I think we're a long way from dry on this well.
Right. Okay. All right. Tad, do you got next?
Okay. My next story is Netflix will never have everything you want and neither will anyone else. Stop waiting for the Spotify of movies. So it's kind of talking about how Netflix is going to lose its deal with cable channel Epix, mm-hmm. so it'll no longer have movies like Hunger Games, The Wolf of Wall Street, Transformers. And it just kind of goes on to talk about how the movie industry and Hollywood is different from the music industry, and that they think having their stuff spread out is, you know, over many different platforms or forums is better for them, and so you're never going to have everything on one service. I was kind of disappointed because I was always kind of hoping, you know, like there would be one that would kind of come out the winner, and so I wouldn't have to, you know, pay for Hulu and pay for Netflix and, you know, pay for whatever, you know,
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. But it looks like that at least this person thinks that that's just not going to happen. The other interesting thing that I saw in this article is that apparently Netflix made a deal with Disney, and starting in 2016, they're going to have all the Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars stuff on Netflix.
Yeah, I there was another article, I think it was either Deadline or Variety, was talking about how Netflix has kind of decided that they want to stop licensing from cable channels or from, you know, the pay cables. And, you know, I think, I don't know if that necessarily covers HBO, but they're kind of thinking about, you know, can we take that money and actually come up with some, like, good original programming as opposed to, to getting, you know, continuing with Epics, because they kind of prefer to deal with studios as opposed to like resellers, like the cable companies or the you know, the Epics of the world. But you know, it is kind of weird, you know, as far as TV shows, because we never had to pay for TV shows before.
Yeah.
You know, and there I think there. It's always going to be segmented. I'm probably talking outside my mouth here, but you know, unless there is some type of regulation, I think it's always better when we have multiple sources as opposed to having one.
Well, especially for things like this, competition's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, because then they have to have something good or people aren't going to pay for it.
Well, I mean, when, you know, Hulu snapped it right up as soon as Netflix got rid of it.
Right.
So, Hulu obviously thought there was value in that. All right, let's go. I have one other news story, and it has to do with casting news. It looks like they are deep in the middle of casting for Ready Player One, which we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess Spielberg is he's literally working on three movies right now. He's got Bridge of Spies that comes out next month. And then he has another movie called The BFG, which I don't know what that means, but that comes out next summer. And then Ready Player One is going to be out in December 2017. So right now they are focused on casting the female lead, Artemis. And so let me throw some names out, and let me know if you've heard of any of these people. Elle Fanning, who was in Super 8. I actually saw Super 8. Now it's clicking on me who that was. Okay, Olivia Cooke from Ouija. Lola Kirk from Mistress America, and then they have two others that they don't really know. So if they're already on the female lead, do they have a male lead? Well, there's an unsubstantiated rumor that they're going to cast Nick Robinson, who is just in Jurassic World, which I assume would be the older kid.
Probably, yeah.
Will play, what's this guy's name? Parzival. So definitely getting closer, but... yeah, the guy who wrote this little thing is all. Stepping back for a second, I seriously can't even believe I'm writing this story. Is Steven Spielberg actually going to be making a freaking Ready Player One movie? I know the film has a release date and it's not news, but it's still hard for me to wrap my head around. This early casting just makes it more real. So yeah, Ready Player One.
Interesting. You know, you say BFG, and I just think of one thing: Duke Nukem.
Hmm.
Well, you remember that one?
Hold on. The BFG is an upcoming American fantasy adventure film directed by Steven Spielberg and written by Melissa Matheson, based on the novel of the same name by Roald Dahl.
Interesting.
With starring a bunch of British people. And Bill Hader.
Big freaking gun.
Yeah.
That's what it's always going to mean to me.
Yeah. Now... I've been listening to the audio drama of, oh my God, I just forgot, Rocket and Groot Save the Galaxy.
Okay.
And I guess it's based on a Marvel novel, not necessarily a graphic novel, but like a prose novel.
Oh.
And there's a BFG in that one, and that is Big Flarking Gun.
Mm.
So there's a lot of F words said by Rocket, but they change it to Flark.
Flark.
Yeah. So
frick, frack.
Yeah, so that's what I, but yeah, it's the, of the Marvel one, this is the best one I've heard. So maybe we'll talk some more about it next week or something like that. All right. Art.
Okay. I have one last story. It only caught my eye because, I was listening to Backseat Producers, a couple of things. First off, Tony mentioned that he actually listens to the show.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, that's good. And then they got to talking about the Lemony Snicket movie. Somebody wanted A Series of Unfortunate Events. They were waiting for more movies to be made in that series, and they talked about how it had been a flop. They got the one movie made with Jim Carrey, blah, blah, blah. They didn't think it'd ever go anywhere. Well, this story caught my eye because discussions over the adaptation of Artemis Fowl book series have been going on now for 14 years. During that time, the project has repeatedly stalled, but word is that Kenneth Branagh has been signed to direct and produce, and that Disney has the rights. And so with those two big names backing it up, it may be finally coming to fruition. So I read the first book in the series. I never read any more, but I enjoyed it for a YA book. And the books have sold, I believe the story said, like 13 million copies worldwide. So that's a really nice built-in audience if they can just do the movies justice. We could have the next Harry Potter on our hands.
Yeah.
And I believe there are 8 books in the series, so that could make for quite a nice franchise.
All right. Ted, what do you have?
I just have a real quick story. There's not a lot to it. Basically, they're going to be making a Mega Man movie.
Saw that.
Yeah, so I just kind of... I've played a little bit of Mega Man. Pretty good game. I liked it. I mean, there's, I think, about 10 different Mega Man game, but it doesn't say a whole lot about. I think it's basically just a concept that they started to move forward with. I don't know if they have a writer yet.
Well, you know, speaking of comics, I know that Archie Comics, they have multiple Mega Man comics going right now. My son reads every one of them. So I mean, they could adapt something out of there.
Yeah.
You know.
But the one thing.
Go ahead.
The one thing they say in the movie is that it's probably going to come out in 2017 because that'll be the 30-year anniversary of the Mega Man series.
Right.
Wow, hard to believe it's that old.
Yeah.
Did you see that Harry Potter thing about being old?
No.
Okay, so you remember the epilogue of Deathly Hallows Part 2?
No, I never saw that one.
Okay.
Go ahead and spoil it for me.
Okay, so there's a shot of two families. So Harry and Ginny and Ron and Hermione dropping off their kids to go to Hogwarts.
Oh, okay.
And so Harry's dropping off his son, James Sirius Potter, for first day of school at Hogwarts, September 1st, 2015.
Nice.
So, you know, it doesn't make me feel that much older, but for, I guess, a generation that kind of, I don't know, grew up with the Harry Potter novels.
Right.
Maybe it has a little more resonance for them than it does for me. So, all right. Art, you got anything else?
Nope, that is it.
Tad?
Nope, that's all.
All right. Well, that is going to conclude this episode of Backseat Box Office. So whether you've listened to a lot of these shows or just checking us out for the first time, thank you for listening. And other than that, I guess go enjoy a movie. And gentlemen, thank you for joining me for this week's episode. Anything that you guys want to say before we sign off here?
No,
just good night.
All right, good night. Take care of yourselves, and we will catch you next time.